Hello once again and welcome to Musings on Golf, where we are delivering with great storytelling today from the one, the only, Boo Weekly. I'm Kelly Elbin along with Bob Bupka. Robert, yes, we will talk a little bit later about huge, exciting wins for Keegan Bradley and Lydia Ko. We're going to look ahead to the Tour Championship, but first up, it'll be everyone's buddy, and yours as well, and mine, Boo Weekly.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, there's so much to Boo, and people forget because he's so good-natured, actually quite humorous at times, has great stories, but he won three times on the PGA Tour, three times. I mean, people dream of winning once on the PGA Tour, and our guest today, Boo Weekly, did it three times, and boy, a couple of other victories that you touched upon briefly, but what an inspirational win by our Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley, and Lydia Ko. I remember Lydia when she was 14 years old. She was playing at Sabonic, right next to National. It was the Women's Open. She was only 14 years old. After her round, she said to her management people, "Can you take me up to the clubhouse where I don't have to sign any autographs?" I thought that was a real case of immaturity, but she has developed nicely. She's an outstanding young lady, and now she's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame, Lydia Ko, and she's not even 30 years old. What an accomplishment. What a great show we have for you today on Musings on Golf.
I mean, great drama from the Mile High area in Colorado all the way to the old course in St. Andrews. The thing about Boo Weekly, Bob, I've always appreciated with him, is he's true to his roots. Born in the panhandle of Florida, Milton, Florida, not far from Pensacola. He's a Southern boy. He calls people, you know, by their names with the word Mr. ahead of it. Hey, Mr. Bob. Hey, Mr. Kelly. Great to see you. That's exactly who he is. He's as genuine a golfer at the elite level as I've ever met and gotten to know a little bit. And you mentioned about the three wins, Bob. So two of them came at Hilton Head. And he explains, you know, why that golf course really met his eye. But coupled with what he, not only what he did with the funny riding of the horse with the driver at the Ryder Cup in 08, but the way he played and represented his country in those victorious matches at Valhalla. I mean, Boo Weekly, as you said, it's got a lot of game, and sometimes that can get a little bit lost behind the good old boy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had great upbringing. He tells the story. He wanted to go hunting, and his grandfather took him out, and they spotted a blackbird, and Boo was able to bring that blackbird down. And he said, "Grandpa, what do we do now?" And his grandfather said, "I tell you what we do now, Boo. In this family, anything you shoot, we eat." So they had to bring that blackbird back to the house, cook it up, and Boo got to eat a little of the blackbird that he was able to bring down. What upbringing. What a great guy. He's a good friend off the golf course. We need more Boo Weeklies in golf. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah, and he's trying to find his footing on the PGA Tour Champions. It's really just completing his first full year. He had a tie for 10th at the Rogers Charity Classic a few weeks ago in Canada. So he's starting to get there. All right, Boo Weekly's up. By the way, really encourage everybody to visit musingsongolf.com. We've done a lot with that website. You're going to find links there to the fantastic William and Harry golf shoes. I wore them playing golf over the weekend when I was part of a really cool celebration of Sonny Jurgensen, the great Hall of Famer's 90th birthday over in Naples, Florida. And right after these messages from our partners here at Musings on Golf, you're going to hear from the one and only Boo Weekly. Our friends at William and Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William and Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Titleist is the number one ball in golf. Yes, being number one is a number, and more players trust the Pro V1 or Pro V1X than all other golf balls combined. But being number one is more than a number. It's a mindset. It's a relentless mission to design and manufacture the best performing golf balls in the game, so you can chase whatever your number one is. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Celebrating its 30th year, the South Florida PGA Golf Pass offers the ultimate summer golf experience with special access to more than 100 private, semi-private, and public golf facilities. From May 1st through October 31st, Golf Pass members can enjoy special low rates, exclusive member-only outings, special offers, and more. For just $60, you can purchase the South Florida PGA Golf Pass and instantly gain access to all these great benefits through the member-only app. It's simple. Pay, download, play. Visit sfpgagolf.com/golfpass for more information. That's sfpgagolf.com/golfpass. Bob, there have been some great characters in the history of our game, and we're so pleased to have one of them with us today. Three times he won on the PGA Tour. One time he rode a pretend horse off the first tee at a Ryder Cup, and every time he brings smiles with him, it makes him so authentic to his many fans. How much fun it is for you, for me, and for our listeners to welcome Thomas Brent Boo Weekly to Musings on Golf. Boo, how the heck are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Mr. Kelly?
Couldn't be any better talking to you. Robert, how much fun are we going to have with this, huh?
Who's been a friend for a long time, and they talk about what a super person he is and what a great personality and how he can bring a smile to your face. But let me tell you one thing and make sure you get it clear. He's won three times on the PGA Tour. Three times. This guy is a player. He's taking a little time to get his feet adjusted to the Champions Tour, but I got a strong feeling he's going to be a success out there before too long. And every time I think of Boo Weekly, Boo, I guess you remember it was in Honolulu at the Sony Open. You were in the field, and I said to you, boy, Boo, the perks are a little different out here than on any other tour. And you said, they sure are. And I said, and the main reason I can tell, you're wearing a Hawaiian Prince shirt. And you looked at me straight in the eye and you said, Bob, best motel I ever stayed in. And you were honest. I mean, that's what we can't get from players out there. I mean, your honesty, you speak with a big heart, and you're certainly a fan favorite. We really appreciate you being part of Musings on Golf, Boo.
Well, I appreciate the honor to be able to come out here or be on the air with y'all. Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, understand you got a little interesting mode of transportation going right now. What's that all about?
Well, we had a little mishap. We wasn't, kind of coming back out playing again. I ain't traveling so long. And I had a little mishap with thinking I was going to get a rental car, and I couldn't get a rental car. We couldn't find one for like 40 or 50 miles. And so me and my fiance, Susan, was just talking, and we happened to be driving by a U-Haul place. He said, well, let's just get a U-Haul. And I started laughing. I said, nah, there ain't no way we're going to be able to get a U-Haul. And sure enough, she called him up, and because she's good with the phone and all the computer stuff. And she set lined up a ride for us, and we ended up with a 15-foot box truck. And we drove it 5.5 hours to the next tournament in Iowa.
See, you found out you can do almost anything.
Oh, yeah, sir. When I got Susan with me, I feel like I can. That's for sure. You know, everybody says, you know, a good woman's the backbone of what's going on, and I got me a good one right now.
Now, Boo, by the way, I know you're in Grand Blanc. Are you still driving the U-Haul now?
No. They gave us a courtesy car this week, so we actually got a courtesy car. So we ain't in the U-Haul.
You've lost your luggage a couple of times. What's that all about?
It's part of traveling and part of, you know, doing what we do out here on the road. You know, people always think, you know, it's the luxury, but it ain't like that out here. You know, you still got to struggle with riding along with everybody else times this year. And Susan's lost hers a couple of times. And, you know, last week we was in Canada and I didn't get my clothes for it was 4 days. I didn't have my clothes with me. And so I had to go to Walmart. You know, Walmart sells some good clothes now. They upgraded a little bit, and they sell them Ben Hogan collections. And I went in there and got me a couple pairs of shorts and got me a couple shirts and some socks and some underwears and some deodorant. And we went and played golf all the way to Thursday. I got my luggage with that clothes.
So wait, but your clubs made it, but your luggage did?
Right, yes. And then when we went to Scotland, my clubs didn't make it for till Wednesday. So I was out of clubs for like 3 days. So
you didn't go to Walmart for the clubs, did you?
No, I didn't go. First thing is they didn't have a Walmart over there in Scotland. Well, not that I seen anyway.
Hey, let me ask you, Boo. Overall, I mean, you know, with all these minor setbacks, if anybody can overcome them, it's Boo Weekly. Are you enjoying competing on the PGA Tour Champions?
Oh yes, sir. It's been my dream. I mean, of course, you know, to make it to the PGA Tour, that's everybody's dream, and then to play the Nationwide Tour was a dream, you know, and then I get to finish out my career with the PGA Tour. That kind of gave me the opportunity to be able to play, but at the same time, I gave myself the opportunity. The good Lord blessed me with the talent, you know, to be able to do what I do and to be able to bring smiles to people's faces and tell stories and laugh. And, you know, I mean, every little bit, you know, every little thing that happens in life is a lesson learned or a lesson to be learned. And, you know, you just kind of got to go that way with it. And I'm very fortunate to have opportunity to be able to play out here on the senior tour and to play with the guys that I kind of grew up with playing on the PGA tour. You know, it's been a fun ride, and it's awesome. And it's like you want to pinch yourself every day.
Hey, do me a favor, Boo. I remember how you telling me how you got your start. You were working at a place, and you got an opportunity to tee it up in an event. Your father wasn't that happy about it, but they decided to let you go out there and compete. Share that story with our listeners.
Yeah, I was I played 1 year of college, dropped out, and just, you know, school wasn't for me. And so I came back home, and I was laying around on my daddy's couch, and daddy told me I ain't going to sit around here and suck up his AC and eat all of his food up. So he told me to get a job, and then next thing I know, he had me a job lined up out at the chemical plant called Monsanto at the time down here in Pensacola. And I worked there for 3 years as a hydroblaster and a little bit of electrician when they needed help on the shutdowns. And one of my bosses, I played a little bit on the weekend with him, you know, just we geeked off. His name was Ralph. And Jack Slocum called up and said that they're having a mini tour event and he needed some players out at the Moore's Country Club. And I was kind of like, well, Jack, you know, I'm working out the plan. I kind of got a, you know, I got a maid out here. You know, I wasn't making but $6.25 an hour, but, you know, you can work your way up the pole at the plants and you can kind of get to where you can become a foreman and make decent money, you know. And Jack was like, look, you know, I really need some players. And so I asked my foreman, I said, hey, man, you mind if I go and play in this, you know, this mini tour event? And he's like, yeah, go ahead, Boo. He said, but we got a shutdown. So during the shutdown, you know, they need you for more than 12 hours, 14 hour days. And what we did with the hydroblasters, you know, we blew out a lot of the pipes and the tanks and the water and stuff. And so my foreman said, hey, look, you know, if you're going to go play golf, you got to come back in and, you know, fulfill your shift. I was like, all right, that's cool. I'll just do the afternoon shift or the night shift, the D shift. And he's like, all right. So I went and played, and I played good. And I, you know, was leading the tournament, wasn't thinking about it. And, you know, I went to work. I worked all the way to the next morning, got up or left from work, drove out to the golf course, took a shower at the golf course, put my clothes on, went and played golf, and then played good again. And it was a 3-day tournament, and I ended up winning the tournament. And Jack says, well, do you want to be a pro? You know, how do you want to be a pro and this and that and the other? And I told him, I said, man, I don't know nothing about this. And he goes, well, this check's for like $3,000. And I'm like, dude, what? He said, $3,000. I said, well, I'm a pro then. I mean, I'll just take the money. And so I took the money and declared myself a pro in the whole nine yards. And all of a sudden I called him. I couldn't believe it. You know, I won $3,000. I got to work for, you know, almost 2 months to get $3,000. Saved up, and I called my mom and them from the pro shop, and they were at the work, and my daddy and them answered the phone. I was like, well, hey, I said, what's up, daddy? He said, no. He said, why ain't you at work? And I was like, well, he goes, the number popped up on his phone because he's a pharmacist, and it showed that I was at the Moores. He said, I said, well, I just got through playing in a golf tournament. And he says, a golf tournament? Why ain't you at work? Ain't y'all supposed to be doing a shutdown and stuff? I said, yes, sir. And he was kind of like, well, you need to get your butt back to work. But that ain't the words he said. But and now my mom got on the phone. She was all panicking because I'm going to get fired or laid off at work. And trying to find out, you know, I mean, I told them what I was doing. And they were very unhappy with it at first. And then I had to go back. Like I said, I had to go back to work. I turned in my 2-week notice with them until they found somebody. And then they ended up, one of the guys under me, I just told them, I said, I'll train him to do what I do. And so I did, and I just went on playing golf. That's how I got started in golf again.
From a chemical plant to the winner's circle, only Boo Weekly can accomplish that. Great stuff, Boo. You know, your first tour win came at the Verizon in 2007 at Harbortown. Second tour win also came at the very same event. What was special about that event that you liked it that much?
I mean, just the way the golf course was set up. I mean, it's a kind of, you know, it's an old school golf course, and it ain't a bomber's course. The main thing, you know, you just had to keep it in play, and you had to work the ball, you know, a little bit. You know, it wasn't like you had to hit it like 260 off the tee or 250 off the tee, so you'll have a clear shot into the green or where the pin was, because the way them greens are kind of turtle back, they're smaller. And it's just a golf course that just fed my eye, you know. And it's, like I said, it's kind of like the one I grew up on in Tanglewood, Florida, Milton, there where I grew up. And it's just kind of tree line. You just had to keep it low and just kind of go about it.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to ask him to share with you, Kelly, how he made history at the Ryder Cup. First off, it was quite an accomplishment to be asked to play on that team. But you certainly qualified with your ability. And then at the 2008 at Valhalla, after you drove off, you kind of left the first tee in a little different manner. Share that with our listeners.
Yeah, that kind of happened. We just got through playing or got through doing our practice round and got back to our hotel. And we had sat in there for our team meeting. And, you know, Paul was talking to us and we were asking questions and all this and that and the other. And it was like a Wednesday when all this came about. And we got done with our meeting, and I was walking back to the room where I could take a shower before we got ready to eat. And as I walked into our little, I had like a little room, a security room for us, that we had food and drinks and all that. So I was grabbing some waters to take back to my room. And when I walked in, there was two officers sitting there, and it just happened to be Happy Gilmore on TV. And I was sitting there watching it with them and talking with them, you know, just chatting it up. And next thing I know, there goes, you know, Happy riding the club off the tee box. And I said, I'm going to do that. And they started laughing. They're like, no, you're not. And I said, oh, yeah, I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the last day when we're playing singles. And they're like, yeah, whatever, boo. You ain't going to do it. And I said, yeah, I am. Watch. Well, I went back to my room, got ready, and I kind of forgot about it. You know, and then all of a sudden it was, we was on the driving range and it kind of popped back up in my head. And then I got on the first tee. And then when I was sitting there taking my practice swings, there's a picture I got at my house of me smiling like a jackass eating briars. I mean, I was just smiling. And I was like, all right, I just remembered again that I'm going to do this. And as soon as I hit it, I said, all I got to do is get it over this pine tree with a little cut. And when it went over that pine tree with a little cut, and I knew it was going to be in the fairway, I started riding the club down the fairway.
He makes Ryder Cup history. Go ahead, Kelly. I know you got some great questions.
We're having so much fun talking with Boo Weekly. Boo, what was that week like for you representing your country? Obviously, you had had that win at Harbortown. You were playing well. And, man, you were 2-0-1 at the Ryder Cup at Valhalla. You won your singles match. Were you nervous going in? What was that week like?
We're always nervous, even out here out here playing, for ourselves. But it was an honor being able to play for the United States. I mean, it's one of the greatest feats that you can do as a golfer, I think, is to get to represent your country. And me and Heath got to do it in 2007 at the World Cup over in China at Mission Hills. That was the first time I got to experience playing for my country. And then we got the Ryder Cup. To be able to play in it, it's unreal feat. It's something that you always look up to when you're playing out here on the tour or if you're playing anything, to be able to say you're representing the United States, it's an honor in itself.
Hey, you mentioned about Heath Slocum growing up and playing the tour that his dad, Jack, started. And you mentioned also Milton, Florida, where you grew up, Boo. I'm interested, what was your childhood like in Milton, and is that when you got your nickname?
My nickname came from my daddy, Yogi Bear and Boo Boo, the cartoon. My daddy always walked in from work, and he was, how about you, Boo Boo? And I'd go to smiling and laughing, and, I was an infant, being a little kid. So it's kind of like my nickname is stuck all the way through, as a kid growing up. Growing up in Milton, small town, fun. We had the river, we had pine trees, woods, dirt roads, we had the beaches, and we grew up hunting and fishing. It was a big part of my life. That's really when I got to spend time with my daddy and my grandparents, my uncles, my cousins. Because we got to hunt and fish, and we'd get to do all that. When my mom and dad moved into Milton, we grew up in East Milton on the river, and then when they moved into towns, when we kind of got into golf.
Yeah, how did you actually start playing? Was it a local course there? How did it start?
Well, I run out of sports. I play football, baseball, basketball. Me and Heath both played on a basketball team our ninth grade year, and I broke my arm or broke my wrist playing basketball. Played soccer, broke my ankles, tore my knee up playing football, tore my shoulder up playing baseball. So it was kind of like, I think I need to find another sport that ain't quite as hard on your body, I thought.
Right.
But as I get older, golf is hard on your body, because now I done had a hip replacement and a couple shoulders and wrist and elbow. But that's how I got into golf. I mean, it was, my mama played, and my dad really didn't play, but my mom mostly played, and so I kind of got to going with her. And then the golf coach at the high school, he was, his name was Gene Hire, rest his soul, but he taught me how to play the game of golf, and taught me my swing, taught me everything about how to play.
There's been so many tales about you wrestling alligators and orangutans. Is this all true, man? I mean, this story about you wrestling an orangutan, Boo, how and why?
Well, I caught a lot of alligators as a kid, and because we had a bunch of cows, and the alligators always, get mixed up with the cows, and we didn't want them, to eat our calves and stuff. But the orangutan, yes, I got in the cage with the orangutan, and it was 5 for $50.
Why? Wait a minute. Why? What caused all that? What for money?
Yeah, 5 for $50. Cost you $5, and it paid $50. But when we was in high school, we're kids, we're boys. We adventure out, we try to, sneak some beers in every now and then, And, when you're 15 years old or 16 years old, or 17, when you're a kid, you drank 3 beers, you're drunk, And I kind of borrowed some beers from my uncles and my granddaddies and my daddy, We kind of stole some beers, I'd have to say, honestly. We were having a little powwow on the river on a sandbar where we was going to camp out at, and they had the little county fair going on, and me and a bunch of buddies, I had my Ford Ranger backed up to where the thing was, and this guy comes pulling in with an orangutan in a cage, and it was started hollering, 5 for 50. It cost you 5, but pays 50, and we done run out of beer, and so we kind of like, well, we about out of beers, and we all decided we'd shotgun, and whoever shotgun the slow man on the shotgun had to jump the fence and get in the cage and see if we can get $50 to go get some more beer. And I was a slow man on the drink, so I jumped the fence and I run off in the cage there with him, and next thing I know, I get knocked out.
Oh, well, what a way to earn 50 bucks.
Well, I didn't even get the 50 bucks. It cost me 5.
Uh-oh.
It cost you 5, man.
I had to hit the orangutan, and I got knocked out. So I was like, well, I tried.
Hey, Boo, I recently saw a video. I think you were out in out west Seattle. It may have been at Boeing. And somebody asked you about why you always have a smile on your face. And you basically said, you know, it's almost impossible not to, you know, based on the views that you get and the people you meet. I wonder if you could just elaborate on that, just in terms of what golf's meant to you and being out and the people you meet and the places you go, what that's meant.
Oh, man, like I said, it's meant the world. I mean, I could still be at that plant, you know what I mean? But the good Lord had different plans for me. And I mean, you can't help but smile. I mean, look at what I get to do every day. I mean, yes, it's a grind, you know, and people don't know how much time and, you know, pressure, the effort you got to put in it, your body, you know, your hands hurt, your feet hurt from walking, or, you know, your hip hurts, shoulder hurts. But I mean, there's people that pay good money, and that's how I make a living, off the people paying the money to come watch me play, you know, and not even just the fans, but just the people on TV, you know, that watch me play on TV. And yeah, that's everybody out here. I mean, it's a luxury to be able to say that I play on the PGA Tour, but at the same time, I've worked my butt off to get here and to be who I am. So why not be who I am and be truthful to who I am, and so that everybody else can see it and know that, you know, there's more to life than what I do for a living. You know, you got to have fun with what you're doing everywhere you go. And I do. I enjoy it. I mean, it's the most interesting thing, because you never know what you're going to get every week when you show up at a tournament, or if you just show up in town. You know, you might meet somebody that, you know, becomes a long life friend. And, you know, the spectators, the fans, everybody that comes and helps this tournament, not just this tournament I'm at right now, but every tournament, you know, and it's a godsend that they come out and they give their time to help us, you know.
That's just a great answer. Hey man, last question for me. It's one that I ask every week to all of our guests, and man, we've had a lot of great responses, and it's pretty basic. Who would round out for you, Boo Weekly? Who would round out a dream foursome, whether those people are living or deceased? Who would be the other three, and where would you play that really special round of golf if you could do it one time?
I would have to say Arnold Palmer, Ben Hogan, and my mom. And, you know, Ben Hogan's always been one of the ones that's like, I've wanted to swing like him my whole life, and, you know, just his practice demeanor and everything. And then Arnie is Arnie. I mean, he's the king, you know what I mean? He was the people's champ. He was always Arnie. I mean, you know, give or take, we're all going to be in a bad mood sooner or later, you know, and you're going to catch us at the wrong time. But that's just part of life. And, you know, you got to understand people and understand what the circumstances are. And then my mom, my mom was the one that kind of got me into golf. So why not bring her along and let her enjoy what she, you know, she helped pay for as a kid.
Yeah, and you said was she a pretty good player?
She used to be, yes. So she was probably about a 10 handicap to a 9 handicap back in the day at Tanglewood, where we grew up playing at. Yes, sir, because, you know, it was me, Heath, we all graduated high school together. She'd play with us. She'd towed us to different golf courses when we played junior events when we was in high school. And then you had Bubba Watson coming behind us. You know, he's 5 years behind us at the same school, you know. And, I mean, it's crazy that we're all from the same little area. And you got Joe Durant, which is one of my far-off cousins that plays out here on the senior tour. And he played on the PGA Tour, won 4 times out there. I think he's won 3 or 4 times out here.
Well, Boo, I'm still trying to recover from your response to Kelly. We've had a lot of guests that picked a lot of people to play with. I'm proud and honored to say that you're the first one that picked his mom. It's just a real example of who Boo Weekly really is. You're special. You bring a lot to the game, Boo. Professional golf is a lot better with Boo Weekly in it. Thanks for being on Musings on Golf. Kelly and I really enjoyed your presence and enjoyed your stories. Watch out for that next orangutan.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Mr. Bob. Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hard and soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William & Harry. Well, Bob, we thank Boo Weekly for his terrific insights and certainly his time. It was really, I thought it was really poignant hearing his comments about being able to travel around the world and all the sights that he gets to see and enjoy and the joy that he brings. That's just who he is, Bob.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that if you're going to play in a pro-am and you're lucky enough to get Boo Weekly, you'll be talking about that for a long, long time. Just a good guy, great golfer, as we said, three-time winner on the PGA Tour, and I expect before long he'll get that job done while on the Champions Tour.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Again, thank you, Bill. Next week, by the way, Johnson Wagner, the tour player who really has become much more known for his great work on Golf Channel, will be joining us to wrap up the Tour Championship and look ahead to both the President's Cup and the Solheim Cup. So, Bob, Keegan Bradley barely got in. He was number 50 going into last week at the BMW Championship in Colorado. Certainly helped that Adam Scott struggled with his putter down the stretch, but with the USA chants echoing all over Castle Pines, he got it done. It was really, really impressive, Bob.
Yeah, it certainly was. Things are certainly going his way. First, just making it into the Tour Championship, and then winning, just incredible. And what a good guy. Such good friends with his aunt, Pat Bradley, Hall of Fame golfer in her own right. His dad's a longtime club pro. I mean, it's just a golfing family, and what an ambassador he makes for the sport of golf. Keegan Bradley, on behalf of golfers everywhere, we thank you for the performance that you put on last week out in Colorado. We expect much the same when you get down to Atlanta.
Yeah, good stuff, Bob. And outside of Keegan and his ties to golf, the one entity it seems to me that has to be absolutely thrilled with this is the PGA of America. Bob, they kind of went out on a limb in selecting the guy who was left off the Ryder Cup team last year, but who has always had great passion for the Ryder Cup, and they picked him as their captain for next year out on your favorite part of the earth on Long Island. And so he becomes just the third individual to win a tour event after being named captain of a Ryder Cup team. Jack was the first, and then Davis Love did it as well. Let's hear what Keegan had to say about just a really special win at the BMW Championship.
I was so grateful just to be here, and I played with a real sense of calm all week, which is not the norm for me. Winning on the PGA Tour is so difficult, and it's a lot, man. It's a lot, especially knowing a couple bogeys here or there. I'm not even playing Atlanta. Last week, I was looking at the leaderboard the whole time, and this week, that was never on my mind. I was just trying to win the tournament, but I'm really proud of the way I hung in there today. It was really tough, and I really played great.
Bob, I was kind of thinking back to Lucas Glover and the hot hand he got last year, and it took him a long way through those FedEx Cup playoffs. Why not Keegan Bradley this year? I mean, what's he now? Fourth on the point list. Why not, right?
Yeah, certainly why not, except the why not happens to be Scottie Scheffler.
That's a good point. That's true.
You know.
It's a big why not, isn't it?
And that's a mighty why not. But we'll wait and see. You know, Keegan's riding a hot hand, but they wiped the slate clean. They start all over again. And getting back to those William and Harrys that you wore, people are telling me that every time they wear them, people want to know more about that shoe, that it's the most comfortable shoe. It's the best looking shoe, and it can be yours. Just go to William and Harry. Matter of fact, Kelly will tell you about a little discount offer that they got going right now, where you can not only get a pair of William and Harry's, but you can get them at a discount.
Yeah, 15% discount. Just use the code 15OFF, M-O-G. Yeah, Bob, I wore the Viper shoes. The Viper shoes are literally made of python, and they're just coming out, part of the exotics line that that our friend Rhett Butler and William and Harry have. Yeah, so Bob, taking up on what you've been talking about with Keegan, Scheffler, Xander, and Hideki are the three individuals who stand at least ahead of him. Let's hear what Keegan Bradley thinks about winning the Tour Championship.
Maybe I can. I mean, I'm playing great. I feel very lucky to be at Atlanta and make the Tour Championship 2 years in a row is a big deal.
I mean, first Ryder Cup captain, then winning out in Colorado. Now he goes down to Atlanta with a bona fide chance at winning the Tour Championship. And what a popular win that would be. And I got to compliment you, Kel. That was a great point you brought up before. The PGA of America has to be absolutely thrilled with their selection for Ryder Cup captain. There was, some eyebrows raised when the name Keegan Bradley came out, but not now. The PGA of America, they're looking like geniuses. What a pick, what a guy, and I know he is going to make a wonderful captain, win, lose, or draw.
Well, I can guarantee you he's going to be on the President's Cup team. Jim Furyk's not going to leave him off that team the way he's playing going into those matches in September up in Montreal. He'll be on that team. And yeah, then the talk will be, hey, can he be the next guy? Who is it? Arnold was the last guy to be a playing captain. Can he play well enough next year to be a playing captain at Bethpage? Based on what I'm seeing, sure. Why not, Bob? Hey, just a couple of reminders real quick. So that staggered start this week it's unique, right, at the Tour Championship. So Scottie Scheffler starts the 4 days at 10 under par. Xander Schauffele, who finished second in FedEx Cup points, is at 8 under par. Hideki Matsuyama starts at 7, and then Keegan Bradley starts at 6 under. And it goes all the way to the guys tied at 30th, Justin Thomas and four others, who start at even par. So it's a 10-stroke span from Scheffler to the 30th player as they start the week. Do you, I think we've probably talked about this before, Bob. Do you like that format? How do you feel about it?
Well, to be honest, I don't like it, but I'm not smart enough to come up with anything better. So I give it my full support. I mean, you have to do something to somebody that's played well all year. You can't send them down to that tournament and they all be just even. So the PGA Tour has worked very hard on coming up with this staggered start. And, hey, get hot, you'll win.
That's exactly what Hovland did.
Exactly. And Scottie Scheffler, well, he'd be the favorite if he didn't have the lead. So you know what that means. He does have the lead with 72 holes to go, Scottie Scheffler. Anybody beats him down in Atlanta, they're playing themselves some real great golf.
The golf course that these guys are going to see this week at East Lake Country Club in Atlanta, Andrew Green, who's become kind of the big golf architect of late, did a lot of work at Congressional Country Club in my old neck of the woods, and he has gone in. And in 1 year, Bob, it's the same footprint of the golf course at East Lake that was there before. But every green complex is new. The grasses around the golf course are all new. It's a Donald Ross design, and somebody found a photograph, an aerial photograph from 1949, before any renovations had begun on Ross's original design. And he's worked from that to essentially recreate, re-envision, if you will, East Lake Country Club. So same flow of the golf course, but a very different golf course in a lot of ways. I don't know that it's necessarily harder, but everything I've read and heard, the players ultimately are going to enjoy it. It's a better test of golf for this big event.
Well, the examination is now in front of them. 72 holes to see who wins the FedEx Cup.
Bob, it's as you said, and you're right. It's right ahead of them. I think it's a great way for the tour season to close exactly the way that they've had it set up, and that is get the golf done before the NFL. The first ball goes up in the air on September the 5th. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really exciting with the 30 players who've qualified for East Lake.
I couldn't be more excited. These are 30 of the best players in the world, and now a totally revamped East Lake golf course. Boy, you take those two ingredients, best players, great golf course, you have bona fide excitement coming our way.
And I'm going to steal your pick, by the way. You correctly picked Xander Schauffele to win the Open Championship. I'm taking Xander, starting two shots back, to beat Scottie Scheffler and win the Tour Championship and win all the money, the FedEx Cup. Bob, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I just don't believe anybody can beat Scottie Scheffler. I mean, when he turns it on, and now you're giving him a two-shot advantage, that's like giving Secretariat a four-horse lead going into the Belmont. I don't think he needs that two-shot advantage, but we'll wait and see. Scottie Scheffler, not only a great golfer, but a great representative of this wonderful game of ours. Come on, Scotty, do us proud.
Bob Bupka, who's always at the front of the pack. Kelly Elbin signing off. Hope you've enjoyed Musings on Golf.